Germany. And that when England and France and Germany established socialism, their economic power would enable them through commodity exchange, producing cheaper and better commodities, to conquer the world market.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. I am William English. Today, Friday the 12th of February, sees the opening of an exhibition, The Elusive State of Happiness, a major showing of works by Ian Brakewell, at the Quad Gallery, Cathedral Quarter, Marketplace, Derby, which runs from the 13th of February to the 18th of April. And the opening is tonight. The show includes visual diaries, film works, TV, audio and drawings spanning 40 years. Ian Brakewell was born in Derby in 1943 and died in 2005. A fellow student of Ian Brakewell at Derby College of Art was Kevin Coyne, as was artist Andrew Greaves. Kevin Coyne, musician, singer, composer and filmmaker, was born in Derby in 1944 and died in his adopted home of Nuremberg, Germany in 2004. In 1977, well, in fact, between 77 and 79, Brakewell and Coyne made a film together called The Institution, a 50-minute, 16mm film. The cast includes Kevin Coyne and Felicity Sparrow, who might be a guest on this programme at a later date. The biographies of Brakewell and Kevin Coyne are available with one click of a mouse. In my other life as a book dealer, I acquired a small catalogue, which is the catalogue for Ian Brakewell's and Kevin Coyne's first exhibition after leaving Derby Art School. The catalogue is about 6 by 7 inches and is basically just a 4-page list of works for sale, all priced in guineas, printed on dark yellow paper, stapled with a dark green card cover. On the front cover is a black screen-printed silhouette of Kevin Coyne, an easily recognisable shape, which hardly altered throughout his life. The catalogue is undated, but probably circa 64, 65, possibly even 66. On page one is a printed statement by both artists, which reads as follows. Statement. We are two painters working in Derby who are primarily concerned with the human figure and its environment. Our paintings are concerned directly with human values, and we feel that here there is a kinship with the church's primary concern for humanity, which is why we are pleased to hold this exhibition at St. Michael's Church House. Signed, Ian Brakewell and Kevin Coyne. And then there are sort of two pages listing the works by Ian Brakewell and Kevin Coyne. There's about 20 works by each one. Paintings include Limbo, 10 guineas, Supremo, 10 guineas, Mrs. Evans, 10 guineas, etc. And then there are lithographs, drawings, collage drawings. Kevin Coyne's paintings include Mr. and Mrs. Birth Control, 15 guineas, Temptation, 7 guineas, Man on Bike, 7 guineas, Cretin, 20 guineas, and so on. And then there are acknowledgements at the end on the last page. Both artists would like to thank the Provost of Derby for his tolerance and encouragement, and Paul Miller for his kindness and the great interest he has taken in this exhibition. Both artists will be in attendance throughout the exhibition to talk and meet the public. When I bought this catalogue, it contained two other items loosely inserted. One was a single sheet of A4 paper, folded once to make a four-page leaflet, entitled Poems by Kevin Coyne, Drawing by Ian Brakewell, Price Sixpence. And the cover, like the catalogue, has a line drawing by Brakewell of Kevin Coyne, the image sort of in triplicate, with the same unmistakable outline of long bushy hair, short, clumpy boots, and the paper of the leaflet is sort of yellowed and frayed at the edges. And inside this leaflet are two poems by Kevin Coyne. The first one is called The Ape Age. The ape was in the jungle first. The ape was in the zoo second. The ape was bought and taken to the industrialist. The ape was used by the industrialist. The ape became a high-ranking official. He opened tea parties and sales of work. He appeared on television. He launched new products all by himself. He opened supermarkets and nobody minded. That's The Ape Age by Kevin Coyne. The other item, loosely inserted in the catalogue, was a six-page handwritten letter from Ian Brakewell to a former teacher. Again, undated, but the address of Bristol would suggest probably 1970s, early 1970s. And this is the letter from, well, it says at the top, note, new address, 91A Redland Road, Bristol 6, Friday the 2nd of September, but no year. Dear Mrs. Aldridge, I came round in the hope of seeing you when I was in Long Eaton about a fortnight ago, but apparently you were in France. I was hoping to have a talk with you and to show you some slides of my recent work. I hear that you have got a senior lectureship at Birmingham College of Art. My congratulations to you, because I know the admiration you have for what is being done in Birmingham. As for myself, things are at the moment not too good, specifically because I am without a job. I did get two interviews for jobs a couple of months ago. The first was as assistant lecturer in drawing 2 days a week at Mid Warwickshire College of Art, Leamington Spa. They had 130 applicants for the post and three shortlists. Eventually it got down to myself and this other fellow, and he got it. They said, and even seemed to mean it, that my work and ideas were too advanced for the people I would have to teach, ! Which must rank as the biggest backhanded compliment of all time. I would rather have had the job, which would have been ideal. The second interview was for a job just outside Oxford, where they are building this new museum. I would have done some teaching, but most of the time I would have been travelling round exhibitions, etc., setting up a museum loan service. I got the job, but turned it down next day. It was full-time plus, and I would never have got any of my own work done. No job is worth that, despite the fact that I like Oxford very much. Since then, I've not seen one job to apply for. Not surprisingly, at this time of the year, my obvious need is for a job which does not cut me off from my own work, which means part-time, except in perhaps an exceptional circumstance. Also, I do not want to teach in a secondary school, not because I don't like children. During my year in Bristol, I enjoyed teaching them very much, but I'm afraid I don't like the school atmosphere. While I feel I have a lot to offer educationally, I have no wish to be a teacher with a capital T. One good result of my unemployment has been that I have had plenty of time for my own work, and this last month I have been working hard on paintings and collage drawings. I've been in some exhibitions these last few months, including the Reeves Bicentenary and also its selection, which is touring till mid-1967. Also British prints in the 60s with Hockney, Cohen, Piper, etc., etc., etc. at the Arnolfini Gallery, Bristol. But alas, lack of cash makes it impossible for me to send to all of the exhibitions I would like. For instance, I was offered one at the Midland Group in October, and I've had to refuse because I could not afford the train fare. In brackets, this letter is developing into a real tale of woe, isn't it? I hope it's not depressing you too much. Also, our little magazine Exit has been touring the American universities in an exhibition of small magazines, and we have got quite a few new subscribers. In fact, we now sell more in the USA than we do in England. Crazy, isn't it? The new issue of Exit will be out very shortly. It should be going to press at the moment. I'm making the most of the time for painting, etc., because it's sure to come to an end soon, as I'll have to get some job digging holes or something for a short time, because the money is bound to run out in the next few weeks, even though my wife is unselfishly working full-time to pay the bills. I am at the moment planning to send sets of slides of my work around to people who have shown an interest in the past or bought work of mine, in the hope of selling something, or interesting people enough to perhaps open up some avenues to jobs. As I mentioned earlier in the letter, I brought some slides around to show you when I was in Long Eaton, primarily because I thought you would be interested to see what I had been doing. If you are interested in seeing some of my fairly recent work, I would be delighted to send you some slides. Please don't be influenced by the self-pity in which this letter has unavoidably become steeped. Just say no if you're too busy. Believe me, I hate writing begging letters, but is there any chance of you, by virtue of your new status, being able to recommend me for a part-time job? Not necessarily just Birmingham College, although Birmingham is the obvious one. It has taken me 3 weeks to pluck up the courage to write this letter. So you can see that the old Breakwell arrogance is not quite so dominant. Nevertheless, it is not such a good idea to work in complete seclusion. My own work shows signs of great development, and I'm sure I could contribute a lot more to a college in a part-time capacity than a lot of the slick bandwagon jumpers who dominate the scene at the moment. So please treat my letter with the same seriousness with which it was written. If you are not completely exhausted by this one-man plea, I would be pleased to hear also any news of what is happening in the district at your end. Your break with Derby, etc. Hope to hear from you as soon as you can reply. All the best, Ian Breakwell. P.S. I got my ATO for what it's worth. P.P.S. I also applied for the Granada Arts Fellowship at Manchester College of Art, but I've heard nothing, so I suppose it's no go. A postgraduate year would have been fine. So that was a letter from Ian Breakwell to a former teacher, Mrs. Aldridge, probably dated about early 1970 or something. And which leads to a new CD by Kevin Coyne, who was Breakwell's contemporary at Derby Art School. A re-release of his 1973 LP Marjorie Razorblade with several previously unreleased tracks. And this is from CD1, Marjorie Razorblade.
Keen as sharp as can be, will always settle my problems for me. She will sort out all my nasty neighbors, cut a swathe right through there, undignified ways. And if they talk about me behind my back, she will not play their game. She will not play that game. She will not play their game. Oh, Marjorie Razorblade. Oh, what a picture she made with her long and fusty dress and the hair that she plaited best. Oh, what a woman, what a tongue, what an abrasive manner. And if anyone upsets me, they will regret it. They will regret it. Oh, she's mine, though she's over 59. She's experience of the world far beyond my years. Oh, mother me, Marjorie, a razor blade. Mother me, Marjorie, oh, razor blade.
scene won't. Marley falls off the wall. Marley, why don't you let me calm him? Let me calm him. Powder and paint. Marley, paper on the wall. Marley, I'm having a ball. Marley, you won't let me calm him. Let me calm him again. Talking to no one is strange. Talking to someone is stranger. You might be in danger, yeah, if you say too much in this world. Being on your own is hard. Being with someone is harder. All the confusion inside you. There's no one to guide you.
Shout at me, Father. It is not my fault. Do not shout at me, Father. It is not my fault. I am not to blame. I am not to blame. Blame for all this trouble. Don't shout at me, Dad. Don't shout at me, Dad. Why do you keep on shouting at me? I must agree. It's been a shame, but I'm not. Do not shout at me, Father. If you shout once more, I'll shout right back at you. And I've got so much respect for you, so much respect, and you show nothing but disrespect. Don't shout at me, Dad. Don't shout.
shout at me, Dad. Don't shout at me, Dad. Stop shouting at me, Dad. Dad, stop it. Don't you shout. Don't you shout. And you're getting much quieter now. As the years go by, it seems all the shouting you did quite early on in your teens and shortly after you were married was a really a waste of time. And if you think about it, if you keep on thinking about it, you will find out that it's all a waste of time. So do not shout at me, Father. Do not shout at me, Dad. Do not shout at me, Father. Do not shout at me, Dad. I haven't been bad. I haven't been bad. I was only born. I was only born. And if you shout at me, the shouting will carry on, 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 on.
Here's Marjorie Razor Blade for you. The Sweet. The Sweet. Features Gunsmith. X Blues Star. Stop! fall. There's lots of fish to fry. She made in her long and fusty dress, and the hair that she plaited best. What a woman, what a tongue, what an abrasive manner. And if anyone upsets me, let it be because she's mine. Though she's over 59, she's experience of the world far beyond my years. Mother me, Wallop, Marjorie, raise a blade. Mother me, Marjorie, raise a blade. Mother me, Marjorie, raise a blade. Mother me, Marjorie, raise a blade. Yeah!